You ever felt like your life is like a tug-of-war contest? You ever felt like your life is one where you're pulled in one direction for a time and then you seem to be pulled in another direction and you just seem to be the rope that's in the middle, being going in this direction and that direction, and sometimes you don't know what direction that you might go? Well, the reality is that in some way your life is like a tug-of-war. And on one side, there is God who is pulling for you, who wants you to come in His direction, who wants you to draw nigh unto God so that He can draw nigh unto you. On the other side is the devil himself, doing all that he can to pull you in his direction away from God in order that you might be his, and you are that rope in between. But unlike that rope in the tug-of-war contest, that rope doesn't have any say or any ability to change where it's going to go. That rope is just going to go wherever it's pulled. You're not like that. Because you see, the decision is up to you. Whether you go in the direction of God or whether you go in the direction of the devil is left up to you. God will not force you to draw nigh unto Him. And believe it or not, the devil cannot force you to do anything for him. It's all up to us. It's all up to our own minds and our own lives and own decisions and what we're going to do. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, Joshua recognized that there were two different directions that people could go. And so Joshua said to the people of Israel before he died in Joshua 24:15, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And he told them what the options were. He told them they could go back and serve the gods of the gods that their fathers served on the other side of the river. He told them you can serve the gods of the Amorites where we're dwelling right now, or you can serve Jehovah. But Joshua said, "You've got to make a choice." Folks, we've got to make a choice. And this day I challenge you to choose this day whom you will serve. Elijah said in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, "Why falter ye between two opinions?" How long are you going to falter between two opinions? If Jehovah is God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. That's where our life is sometimes. Faltering back and forth between who we are going to serve. And yet Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters." It is impossible. It is impossible for us to face in one direction and be serving God and at the very same time be serving the devil. It can't happen. Jesus said it cannot happen. At the same time, we cannot face the devil and serve the devil and at the same time be serving God. But too many of us are trying to face this way. And we're trying to have a little here and a little there, and Jesus says that is not possible. It is impossible for a man to serve two masters at the same time. Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Folks, it's time for us to choose. It's time for us to stop faltering between two opinions. And it's time for us to realize what Hosea said in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9, "The ways of the Lord are right." This morning I want us to contrast these two different paths. This morning I want us to look at these two paths that Jesus describes in Matthew chapter 7. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 and 14? Where Jesus said that there is a wide way. He said that there is a wide gate. There is a broad way that leads to destruction, and there are many who find it. For the purposes of our lesson this morning, I want to call this the ways of the world. And I don't know if this image graphically depicts what the ways of the world have to offer, but they have to offer us all sorts of big lights in big cities. They have to offer us all sorts of different paths. And you see, we look out in the world and we think there must be thousands of different directions that our lives can go. Everybody's doing something different. Maybe we think there are millions of different directions that our lives can go, but Jesus brings it down and says, there's not thousands, there's not millions, there's only two. And you are right now, everybody on this earth is right now on one of these two paths. You're either following the ways of the world or you're following the ways of the Lord. Here's how God describes the ways of the world. God says the ways of the world are folly. If you follow these ways, you're following a path of foolishness. Foolishness because these ways, following the ways of the Lord, are based upon human reasoning. If you follow the pathway of the world, it's based upon the fact, what Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, that there's a way that, you know what that verse says? There's a way that seems right to a man. God doesn't say that way is right. In fact, He says that's the way that leads to death, so it's not right. But there's that way, and it seems like it's the right way to a man. The ways of the world are based upon human reasoning. Human wisdom, what we think is the right path to go. It's based upon our own selfish desires. But you know, James chapter 1 verse 15 says that when desires are conceived, they give birth to sin. If we follow down a pathway of our own ideas, of our own wants, of our own, it seems to me this is the right way to go. We're following the path of the world. We're following after our own selfish desires, and thereby we have been deceived by the devil to believe this is the right thing to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. The Bible says that the devil has the ability to transform himself into an angel of light. Did you know that? How is it that the devil has so much power, so much deceiving power? It's not because he sets this thing out here that is wrong and sinful and we should never do it. And he sets it out there and says, look how wrong this is. Look how sinful this is. Look how horrible this is. You don't want this. No, he takes that which is wrong and sinful and horrible and he cloaks it. And he makes himself into an angel of light to appear as an angel of light. And he's like that person on television that wants you to spend the $19.99 to buy something you don't need, but it's just too good, and they're going to give you two for the price of one. And that's the way the devil works. I'm sorry to those people who are working on television sales, but that's the way the devil works. He takes that which is evil and he tries to make it look so appealing, and he'll deceive you into following that path. He'll deceive you into believing that the pleasures that he is offering are irresistible. That you have to have them. You can't live without these pleasures. But yet Moses realized that those pleasures are just passing. He realized those pleasures are just for a season. They're temporary. They do not last. Here's how God describes the ways of the world. Are you getting the picture? Are you getting the picture of this way that enslaves us to sin? Sometimes the world looks at us as Christians, and they think that we're the ones who, you know, are slaves, and we can't do anything. And there's all those thou shalt and thou shalt nots, and boy, I feel sorry for those Christians because they just really can't do anything, and for some reason they feel sorry for us. But yet the Bible says that they are the ones who are enslaved. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. God says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Do not let sin be the ruler, be the king, be the governor of your life. Why? Because the rest of the verse says, because you will obey it. If we allow sin in our lives, if we follow after the paths and the ways of the world, then we will become enslaved to it. We will begin to obey it and to serve the ways of the world instead of the ways of the Lord. The end thereof, God says, is death. Proverbs 14, verse 12, there's a way that seems right unto the man, but the end thereof is death. It's separation from God. And that's why Jesus described this path as a wide gate, a broad way. And where does it lead? It leads to destruction. And the sad thing is that this is where most people, many people, find their lives. Everybody in this world is on one path or another. Most of the people in this world are following a path that is one of folly, based upon human reasoning, that has nothing to offer but deception, has nothing to offer but temporary satisfaction. the point that you can begin serving sin and be separated from God. This is God's evaluation. And as you look at this, is there anything here that you want? Is there anything here that is just really appealing to you? There's nothing here I want. There's nothing here that I want for my children. There's nothing here that I want for any of you. But if this is God's evaluation, how about you take a step back? And in your own mind, look out in the world and what the world has to offer. What is there that the world has to offer that God doesn't? What is there that the world can give to you that God will not and cannot give to you if you serve Him? What is there that is so appealing out in the world? And there's no way that this screen can contain all of those things. There's no way this room can contain all of those things. But just think about some of these things that the world can give to you, that the world has to offer that God doesn't. Any of these things, just jump out and say, boy, I want that. I want to have this kind of thing in my life. There's nothing. There's nothing that's appealing about the ways of the world, and yet the devil can take this list. And as we sit here and say, I don't want a single one of these things, the devil will take the list and he'll make it look good and we'll go right down that path. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16. The Bible says, here's what the wise man does. The wise man fears and departs from evil. He runs. He flees. He scatters in the other direction. Because as that, I think it's an invitation song that we sing, it says, the world has nothing left to give. There's nothing here that the world has to offer that we should want. Did the list ever show up? I guess it did. Good. Let's talk about this contrast. I'm tired of talking about the left side of the screen. Let's get it right. Contrast the ways of the world with the ways of the Lord. Ways of the world are way of folly, but the way of the Lord, the Bible says, Hosea 14 verse 9 says, the ways of the Lord are right. In fact, Psalm 18 and verse 30 says they're perfect. You can count on the ways of God to be right every time. And you can become perfect just like your Heavenly Father is perfect if you will follow after the ways of the Lord. The ways of the world, they're based upon human reasoning. The ways of the Lord are based upon divine reasoning. You've got human wisdom if you follow after the ways of the world. You've got divine wisdom if you follow after the ways of the Lord. Have you ever read Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9? Have you ever tried to imagine what God says in verse 9 where He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth. How much higher are the heavens than the earth? How far away are the heavens from the earth? God says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amazing to me how arrogant some people can be where they try to elevate their own finite, infantile minds and try to elevate themselves to where they think their thoughts and their ways are equal with God. Or maybe just try to bring God back down to their level and try to say that we're on an equal plane with God. God says my ways and my thoughts are higher than the heaven is from the earth. You want to follow after human reasoning or you want to follow after the ways of God that are ways that are right? They're right every time because they are following after not selfish desires. You follow God's way and you'll follow after godly desires. Titus 2 and verse 11 and verse 12. Verse 11 says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, the left side of the screen, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. Is that where you are? Are you following after the path of God? One side will bring you just a deception by the devil. The other side is changeless, is trustworthy. God's ways are everlasting, so says Habakkuk. God's ways will not change. Here's the devil who's going to twist and turn to make you think that something's just right and just appealing. James chapter 1 says God doesn't twist and turn. There is no shadow. There is no variation with God. What God says, you can count on it every time, and you can understand that His promises will be fulfilled every time. The ways of the world offer some kind of temporary pleasure, but the ways of the Lord offer an abundant life, both here on this earth and one everlasting. The ways of the world will enslave you to sin, but the promise of God is that if you follow after the path and the ways of the Lord, that you'll have freedom from that sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. The Bible says, God be thanked that though you were, past tense, that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And then verse 18 says, being set free from sin. Only in following after the ways of the Lord can we be set free. And being set free from sin, we now then became what? A servant of God. Instead of following and serving the world and Satan, we have the privilege of being freed from all of that and serving God. And the promise that's given unto us is a promise of everlasting life. Matthew 7, verse 14, Jesus said that that gate is narrow. And He said the way is difficult, but if you'll go through that narrow gate, if you'll go down that difficult path, it leads unto life. And Jesus said there's only a few who find it. Question this morning is, are you one of those few? As you look at your life, the Bible says you're only on one of these two paths. Every person in this world is either following the ways of the world or is following the ways of the Lord. Here's what the world has to offer us from a human evaluation standpoint. Here's what the world has to offer us. What does God have to offer? Do you know anybody who's been a Christian for 30 or 40 or 50 years? As you look at these older Christians, are there any characteristics? Are there any qualities in their life that you want? As you look at the life that God promises to us, do you want a life that is full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Are those things not appealing to you? As you look at the contrast between these two lists, if there was no other reason to be a Christian, if there was no other reason to follow God, if there was no other way to follow after the ways of the Lord, then just these two lists of contrast, this would be enough for me. This would be enough for me. There's nothing appealing to me about hatred, strife, pride, murder, gossip, revelries, extortion, deceit, or lying. There's nothing about that that I want. But is there any reason that you do not want justice, hospitality, purity, holiness, graciousness, temperance, forgiveness, truthfulness? Do you not want that as a part of your life? You see, none of these things can move over to the left side of the screen. None of these things can move over to the right. Every one of us is on one of these two paths, and the paths do not cross, they do not intersect, they do not merge. You're only on one of them. Which one are you on today? As you evaluate your life, what path are you following? Jesus said there's a wide way that has most of the people, there's a narrow way that only has a few people. One of them leads to destruction, one of them leads to life. Which one are you following? The Bible tells us that the ways of the Lord are right. And if the ways of the Lord are right, then think about this, then the ways of the Lord are right all the time. If God's ways are the right ways, then God's ways are not just right some of the time. God's ways are right always, every time. You don't have to question. When Hosea says, in Hosea 14 and verse 9, who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them. God's ways are right. God's ways are right always. You know what that means? That means when I come to the Word of God, that means I can have utmost confidence. I can have absolute assurance that God's ways, I can count on them. I don't have to question them. I don't have to worry about them. I don't have to wonder if they're right or not. And if I follow after the ways of the Lord and they are always right, I don't have to be ashamed of them. Because I follow the pathway of God, for some reason, some people believe there's a certain amount of shame that comes into my life because I'm a Christian and I'm following these thou shalts and these thou shalt nots. Well, there's some things, young people, that if you become a Christian that God says you can't do, and boy, that's just sad for you. No, it's not sad for you. You go back to that list that was on the left side of the screen. It's not sad for you that none of that's in your life. When we follow the ways of the Lord, it's always right. And I can have confidence, I can have assurance. I don't need to be ashamed and I don't need to question it if I'm following that way. Let me give you four ways very quickly. Make this practical. Give us four ways that we understand the ways of the Lord are right, and they're always right. First of all, the ways of the Lord are right doctrinally. What does that mean? That means when I come and I read the teachings of the Bible, when I read the doctrines of the Bible, they are always right. When I pick up my New Testament, that covenant that's binding on all of us today, when I pick up my New Testament and I read the teachings of the New Testament, what the Lord teaches me to do in my life, they are right every time. For instance, when Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. When Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved," is that right? The ways of the Lord are right. It's not just right, it's always right. And I don't need to question what Jesus says in Mark 16:16. And if I believe and follow what Jesus says in Mark 16:16, I don't need to be ashamed of it. I don't need to be ashamed that the Bible says in order for someone to be saved, they must believe and be baptized. When the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there is one body. The Bible says there is one church. I can have absolute confidence and assurance. That's what God meant. That's what God said. And I don't need to question it. Who am I to question God when He says there's one church? His ways are right and they're always right. And I for sure don't need to be ashamed of what God says, that there is only one church. When the Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Is that right? Is it right for us to sing to one another in our worship? Is it right for us to make melody instead of on an instrument because that's never used in the New Testament? Is it right for me to only make melody in my heart and sing praise unto the Lord? The ways of the Lord are right. They're always right. I don't need to question them. I don't need to be ashamed of them. I just need to walk in them because that's what the wise man does. He walks in the ways of the Lord. But God's ways are not just right doctrinally. God's ways are right morally. Every time. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5 says that every word of God is pure. God calls upon us in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 5 verse 22, to keep ourselves pure. How can I keep myself pure? By living by the precepts that themselves are pure. Every way of the Lord is right. It's always right, and it's right morally. When the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. If the ways of the Lord are always right, then Hebrews 13 and verse 4 is always right. which means that in God's eyes, marriage is honorable. And then notice the second part of that, that the bed, what bed? The marriage bed is undefiled. God created marriage in Genesis chapter 2. And God created that special intimate relationship that was to exist only between a husband and his wife. The marriage bed is the bed that is undefiled. Therefore, any other bed, any other activity outside that marriage would then be what? Defiled. If the marriage bed is undefiled, then any other activity outside of that marriage relationship or even before that marriage relationship is defiled in the eyes of God. The ways of the Lord are right always. Young people, you don't need to be ashamed for standing up for godly morals. You don't need to be ashamed for trying to live right and do right. You don't need to be ashamed that when all of your friends at school, and I would question the word friends there, when all of the people at your school are having sex, you don't need to be ashamed to say, I'm waiting until I'm married. Because God's ways are right. And they're right every time. They're right from the time that He wrote Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, and they're going to be right until the end of time. The Bible says at the end of that verse that fornicators and adulterers God will judge. God's ways are right. They're right all the time. And I don't need to question them. I don't need to be ashamed of them. I don't need to try to get around them in some way. When the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, do not be drunk with wine. I don't need to be ashamed of that. I don't need to question that. When the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in a discussion in verses 4 through 8 about the difference between darkness, remember the left side of the screen, and light, the right side of the screen, the difference between those who are living in the night and those who are living in the day, the one illustration that God chose to use in trying to contrast darkness and light, those who follow after the path of Satan and those who follow after the path of God, is found at the end of verse 7, where God says that those who get drunk are drunk at night. The one illustration that God chose to use to try to draw this contrast between those who live in the day according to the precepts of God and those who live at night according to the precepts of Satan was this matter of drunkenness. And on this side, He put not only those who are drunk, but those who get drunk. And on this side, verse 8, He says, but we who are of the day are sober, free from the influence of intoxicants. Brethren, we don't need to question that because the ways of the Lord are right. And we don't need to be ashamed to live according to that path. Because the ways of the Lord are right. They're right every time. They're right doctrinally. They're right morally. And I wish we had more time for more illustrations about how God's ways are right morally. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. The Bible says, do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? For fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Is that right? The ways of the Lord are right. They're right every time. There may come a day in this nation where it becomes illegal for us to say that. There may come a day in this nation where it becomes illegal for us to preach what 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 teaches. But just because something is illegal in a nation doesn't mean that it's wrong in the eyes of God. The ways of the Lord are right. Homosexuality has from the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus where it was punishable by death until the point in the New Testament where those who practice this lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of God has never been and will never be acceptable in the eyes of God because not the world's ways, but God's ways are right and they're right every time. The ways of the Lord are right practically. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 not only says that we have in the Bible all things that pertain unto godliness, teaching us how to live a godly life. It tells us we have all things that pertain unto life. Who would you rather be married to? A husband who was living by those things that were on the left side of the screen, following after the ways of the world, or a husband who's following after the ways of the Lord. It becomes very practical. Who would you rather be married to? A wife who follows the ways of the world or a wife who follows the ways of the Lord? Who would you rather have as parents? Who would you rather have as an employee? Who would you rather have as an employer? Who would you rather have as a neighbor? Who would you rather have as your governor? Who would you rather have as the president of the United States? Someone who follows the ways of the world or somebody who follows the ways of the Lord? It makes a huge difference, doesn't it? It makes a difference in our homes. It'll make a difference in the workplace. It'll make a difference in our nation because the ways of the Lord are right and they influence every part of our life. They impact every part of our life, and that's where the ways of the Lord become so practical. The ways of the Lord are right eternally. His Word lives and abides forever. His Word endures forever. And if His ways were right when God wrote the Bible, then His ways will always be right. Perhaps you have heard it said, it's always right to do right. That's true because Hosea says the ways of the Lord are right. And it is never right to not follow the ways of the Lord. And it is never wrong to follow them. What path are you on? Evaluate your life. Jesus says every one of us is on one of these two. I know which one I want to be on. I know which one I want my children on. I know which one I want you on. Where is your life? One leads to destruction. One will lead to eternal punishment, and one will lead to everlasting life. The ways of the Lord are always right, and they are always right even when it comes to His plan to save us. God's plan to save you is not man's plan. The Church of Christ did not make up their own plan of salvation as some other religious groups have done. The Church of Christ has not devised what we think God says about salvation. The ways of the Church of Christ are not right in and of themselves. Only the ways of the Lord are right. And if we want to be right, we need to follow those ways. God's way of salvation is so clear and so plain. In Mark 16, verse 16, Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." In Acts 2, verse 38, the Bible says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized for the remission of your sins." Throughout New Testament times, before one could be obedient to the gospel of Christ, it was required that they confess the faith that was in their heart with a confession of that faith that was unto salvation. But it was not until someone was buried in water. It was not until someone was buried into the death of Jesus in baptism that the blood of Jesus that He shed on the cross washed away their sins. And when they did that, when they believed and were baptized, when they repented and were baptized, when they were immersed in water, they put on Christ. And at that very moment, God put them into Christ, put them into His church, washed away every single one of their sins, and wrote their name in heaven. Have you done that? Have you been baptized? And hear me, not just have you been baptized. Have you been baptized for the very reason to have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus? If you have not, we beg of you this morning, as the song says, to come to the Lord. Once you're His child, He asks you to walk, guess where, in the ways of the Lord. If we can help you in any way this morning, please come as together we stand and sing.